Radio Prague News. Turkey should not be a part of the European Union, the Czech President Miloš Zeman has said. The Czech authorities will introduce a four-point security threat scale for emergencies, and the lower house has approved an amendment to the Czech civil law which would enable ambassadors to remain in office even after crossing the present age limit of 70 years. Turkey should not be a part of the European Union, the Czech President Miloš Zeman said at the end of his three-day visit to North Bohemia on Wednesday, adding that despite its membership in NATO, Turkey sometimes behaves as Islamic State's ally. The Czech head of state also criticized EU's plan to pay €3 billion to Turkey in exchange for helping hold back asylum seekers trying to make their way to Europe. He also repeatedly warned of the risk posed by the Muslim immigration to Europe. The Czech authorities will introduce a four-point security threat scale for emergencies, Interior Minister Milan Chovanec said after a meeting of the National Security Council on Tuesday. The council met to hear the results of a security audit undertaken by the Interior Ministry in the wake of the Paris attacks and discussed a proposed anti-terror package. The Interior Minister said that there was no immediate threat to the country and the present situation did not require amendments to the law. The lower house of Czech parliament on Wednesday approved an amendment to the Czech civil law which would enable ambassadors to remain in office even after crossing the present age limit of 70 years. Under the current law, which went into effect in July this year, public servants cannot remain in office after exceeding the set age limit. The new legislation probably won't affect the two Czech ambassadors this concerns, Livia Klausová in Slovakia and Eva Filippi in Syria, because it won't come into force soon enough. President Miloš Zeman, who is responsible for appointing and removing ambassadors, said an exception should be made for them to stay on in their posts. The state prosecutor is seeking a 9-year sentence for the head of the Czech Energy Regulatory Office, Alena Vitásková, over clearance for solar power facilities which allegedly allowed her and several other people to earn extra millions of crowns, Czech television reported on Wednesday. According to the prosecutor Radek Mezlík, Mrs. Vitásková caused the state damages amounting to billions of crowns. The state has also petitioned for high sentences in the case of illegally granted licenses to solar power plants in the Chomutov region. Stray dogs which found their way into the Brno Zoo at night are reported to have killed 3 kangaroos and 1 llama. The damage has been estimated at 45,000 crowns. The dogs are reported to have dug a hole under the fencing and escaped the same way. A similar incident happened in the zoo earlier this year when an ostrich and 3 exotic birds were killed. The police have appealed to the public to report on stray dogs in the vicinity of the zoo. The Czech Hydrometeorological Institute has issued a black ice alert for most of the Czech Republic, starting on Wednesday night. Drivers and pedestrians have been warned to exercise extreme caution due to icy conditions caused by a sudden drop in temperatures. The alert will remain in place until 10 p.m. on Thursday. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Interior Ministry proposes a package of anti-terrorism measures and the 3-year renovation of Prague's National Theatre has been completed. Later on, Chris Johnston will look at the Nord Stream gas pipeline controversy that has caused rifts in Central Europe. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. Members of the Czech National Security Council met late on Tuesday to discuss new measures designed to protect the country from the threat of terrorism and illegal migration, including better coordination between the security and emergency services in the event of a perceived imminent or actual terrorist attack. Dominic Yoon has the story.
The meeting of the National Security Council was called in order to present the initial findings of a so-called security audit collated by the Interior Ministry at the request of the Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka following the attacks in Paris of November 13th. Specifically, the ministry report represents the first multi-pronged approach towards overhauling Czech security and proposes a new four-step threat assessment scale, as well as new measures designed to inform the public in the event of a terrorist incident. At issue is the creation of a systematic approach to replace the emergency security measures put in place following the Paris attacks, including the positioning of armed police at certain strategic sites. Bohuslav Sobotka explained to Czech television that currently the country would be at number one in the 0-3 scale, with increased security measures by the police and vigilance urged from the public, and also described the wider aims of such coordination efforts.
These are measures currently in effect right now. There is no reason to increase these. Of course, if we had specific intelligence regarding a threat, then we would increase these measures. But right now, that is not the case. Also at issue is securing water and electricity supplies and even data.
Higher-level threat assessments could see public events cancelled and troops brought out into the streets. It would be up to the government, or in extreme cases the Interior Minister alone, to determine this threat. Also under discussion were proposals to reintroduce border checks with Austria, Slovakia and Poland, although such measures have not yet been approved. At the meeting were specialists from the Interior and Defence Ministries, as well as security services representatives. Aside from terrorism and migration, it also addressed issues spanning from energy independence to domestic extremism. Speaking to Czech television, Interior Minister Milan Chovanec suggested that current laws are sufficient to address the present threat.
According to our analysis and our specialists, it will not be necessary to amend our laws. Rather, policing and other enacted legislation will be sufficient. And we do not believe that we need to undertake any kind of large-scale changes. The security threat scale is mainly about ensuring proper coordination between the emergency and security services from the army to the police.
The minister also argued that even though the Czech Republic was not a favoured target destination for a potential 20 million migrants fleeing Syria and nearby countries, increased preparation was still necessary and measures to reduce the current roughly 3,000 daily arrivals on Europe's shores would be welcome.
Dominic Yoon with that story. Moving on now. After 3 years, the renovation of Prague's National Theatre is complete. The project, which cost 135 million crowns, saw the complete restoration of the theatre's facade, which in places had fallen into disrepair. Not only has the theatre been restored, many of its magnificent interiors are also now viewable in a special tour online. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Prague's National Theatre remains one of the capital's most important historic sites, a cornerstone of the past national awakening and Czech culture. After 3 years, the theatre's facade, which had been badly crumbling in places, is complete. Great expense and expertise went into repairing the buildings. Many sandstone surfaces, but also exterior lamps, sculptures, windows and doors were fixed. National Theatre conservationist Petra Danghelová told public broadcaster Czech TV more.
We replaced all the tiles on the balconies, all of the sandstone surfaces were cleaned and then touched up. The doors and windows were restored and refitted. The doors saw some of the most delicate work, for example. They were revarnished in a piano black finish.
A jewel on the banks of the Vltava, Prague's National Theatre now also offers a 3D virtual tour of its most stately rooms on its website at no charge. Viewable rooms include the theatre's famous entrance hall, auditorium, stage, staircases, foyers and more, part of a project that also includes other world-famous venues such as Paris's Opéra Garnier and New York's Carnegie Hall. The National Theatre spokesman Tomáš Staněk.
The aim is to allow viewers abroad the chance to see the beauty of the National Theatre, and that's not all. We have also gone into the archives and published material online which has not been shown online before, such as historic costume designs by Karel Čapek.
Prague's most famous theatre is obviously best seen up close, ideally combined with a performance. Those who can at least visit online.
My thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature. The fate of a projected new gas pipeline link last week sparked a rift between the Czech Republic on one side and Slovakia and a series of Prague's Central European partners on the other. The view from Bratislava is that the extension of the pipeline under the Baltic is a German-Russian plot to sideline Ukraine, while at the same time damaging Slovakia and the European Union. Chris Johnson puts the controversial project under the spotlight in this week's Marketplace.
The major problem today in this region and this Europe is the behavior of Germany. And what is most incredible for me personally was the Joachim von Ribbentrop-style visit to Moscow, which was not in August 1939, but which took place 3 weeks ago.
Harsh words there from Tomáš Marecek, the board chairman of Slovak gas pipeline company EUSTREAM. The visit Marecek was talking about was by German Deputy Chancellor and Minister of the Economy, Sigmar Gabriel, to Vladimir Putin at the end of October. Tomáš Marecek was speaking at the Central European Energy Conference 2015 in Bratislava just 2 weeks ago. The EU stream boss's comments will probably go a long way to explaining some of the background to the rumpus last week when the Czech government refused to sign up to a strongly worded letter penned by Slovakia's Minister of Economy to the European Commission. It called for Brussels to get involved in the ongoing Russian-German moves to expand Russia's existing gas pipeline links under the Baltic Sea to Western Europe. Basically, what's being proposed is sometimes described as Nord Stream 2, sometimes as Nord Stream 3 and 4. But what EUSTREAM and the Slovak government fear, they're basically reading from the same page, is that the result, if the new pipeline is built, is that Russian gas in the future will bypass Ukraine altogether, and Slovakia, instead of being one of the main natural gas highways to the west, will become a cul-de-sac, with its energy security impaired and hundreds of millions in earnings from gas transit fees lost. To be precise, the Slovak Minister of Economy, Vasil Hudák, has estimated that the Slovak government alone would lose out on gas transit revenues of around 400 million euros a year if its worst fears were realised. The financial damage to Ukraine from lost gas transit revenues is put at around 2 billion euros a year. Those are big sums for a conflict-torn and poor country facing severe economic problems, which the European Union is supposed to be helping. Just another point, perhaps. Gas pipelines today are in strategic terms regarded by governments and decision-makers a bit like railways at the end of the 19th century, before the First World War. Their position, direction and financing are a pretty good indication of who is lined up with whom and which state or grouping of countries are being sidelined as a result. Tomáš Marecek again outlines what he describes as Russia's long-term plans to get Germany and German companies on side so that it can pursue its broader energy and political strategy. He outlines how part of the plan is to get the key pipeline decisions made in Germany with the European Commission's broader energy policies completely sidelined.
There are three players in this game. First one is Russia, which is opposite to what you can read in media, really strong and clever. The stated goal of Russia is bypassing Ukraine with the gas transmission. Russia, unlike Europe, has long-term strategic thinking. They don't need quick wins. Unlike Europe, Russia has fast-track decision-making process and can very effectively speak with one voice only. No discussions. Russia has exceptional ability to use almost any external environment for its own benefit. You can see it in two, I would say, examples. One is low oil prices. In theory, low oil prices should be to the detriment of Russia. But in fact, the low oil prices are hurting most the Western oil and gas big companies. That means that these companies are therefore in dire straits, and because they are looking only at the next quarter results, that's all they care for. They are relatively easily to be bought, and Russia knows it. So Russia can easily propose to those companies which are desperately need some new profit. Russia can offer them, look, you can go to Russia, we can grant you an access to our gas fields, but you have to participate in Nord Stream 3 and 4. Deal done. And we can read in newspapers that this is business as usual.
As last week's events demonstrated, this pipeline clash has posed some particular problems for Prague and the Czech government. Normally, the Czech government would be expected to jump on board an energy security initiative piloted by its biggest regional friend and partner without a second thought. Czech Minister of Industry and Trade Jan Mládek took the letter, backed by Slovakia, Ukraine, the Baltic states, Hungary and Poland, to the Czech government last week to get its approval for joining the anti-Nord Stream expansion coalition. He came away empty-handed and needing to explain Prague's lukewarm stance. The proposed new Russian-German pipeline link is not altogether bad news for the Czech Republic, because it could mean increased flows of gas and earnings through Czech pipelines heading towards Germany.
We do expect that it will be expansion not only of the Nord Stream 2, but also the other pipelines. It means Opal and Gazela, because the Germans do need to transit this gas not only to the Baltic coast, but to Bavaria, where is the main consumption, and the line is through the Czech Republic.
But there was another factor in play as well. In recent weeks and months, relations between Germany and the Czech Republic have been soured over the immigration crisis. There are rumours that top German politicians are refusing to pick up the phones when called by their counterparts in Prague. And that was also an element in play for Prague's surprise decision, which has in some quarters been interpreted as a major success for Moscow in breaking up the solidarity of the Visegrad Four on a major strategic issue. 2 days after the Czech government decision, Minister Mládek met with his Slovak counterpart, and this was the tone of the argument that was advanced. Minister Mládek again.
We are definitely supporting the transit through Ukraine, through Slovakia, and we do understand the concern of those countries if the transit would be stopped, and it would not help Czech Republic either, because we do prefer to have two routes with the access to Russian gas, because we can get it now either through Nord Stream and also through the gas pipeline through Ukraine, and we would keep both of them. On the other hand, it's a bit difficult for us to be boldly against Nord Stream 2, because it's increasing the security of supply for us as well.
There is little doubt that Nord Stream as a phrase will crop up again over the next weeks and months, and that Prague could once again feel itself pulled between loyalty to traditional partners and a more pragmatic approach emphasising its relations to its overwhelmingly most important economic partner, Germany. We conclude by revisiting Tomáš Maráček of EU Stream and his broad-ranging but gloomy take on how this pipeline development could shape the future of Central European relations and perhaps the fate of the European Union itself in years to come. He compares the pipeline project with a rocket which at some stage hits a crucial phase where it could explode with catastrophic results.
2016 will be the year of the maximum dynamic pressure in this region and in the gas industry in Europe. The fate of the Nord Stream 3 and 4 and of the Ukrainian transit, and as well as Ukraine, will be decided in 2016. The decision will not be made in Moscow or Kiev. It will be made in Berlin. The pressure will be enormous. We will hear and read in newspapers that this is only a commercial project, that Germany doesn't need any nod from European Commission, that they can decide only on German territory, that this is only commercial. The problem is that if the key players in this game, and we've seen them, will push too hard when approaching this maximum dynamic pressure point, we believe that some structure in Europe may start to crack and the European project may start falling apart. especially in this part of Europe. The future of the energy security of Ukraine, of the V4 countries, and the European Union as such, is too important to be decided only in, as we say, Deutschland GmbH.
Tomáš Marecek of EU Stream, ending that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson. And it brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.